You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Avast ye mateys! Welcome to another special edition of Why Blank Lost as we continue our series of Why Blank One podcasts in parallel with the RHAP Survivor season rankings. This week, we're at the third best season, Pearl Islands, as we discuss Sandra in her first stage of becoming the queen. I'm David Bloomberg, and with me, of course, is the queen of this podcast, Jessica Lewis.
I like that title. I will take that. Thank you very much. And listen, I never know what you're going to do when these things start. So thanks for the little pirate imitation there. That was nice. I like that.
Well, I was going to go full pirate. I was going to be Bloombeard, but, you know, but Mike Bloom stole it.
I did see that beard.
Mm. I had it down to here since 2 weeks ago. Sure, just go with it. And you know, and then Mike comes in with his cheap plastic beard.
He just takes the whole thing.
I tell you.
So now that's all we got. We got a quick little impression. That's okay. But
yeah,
you tried. We got there.
Yes.
But yes, this is an exciting week because we do get to see the queen developing into the queen that she has become. So this was quite fun to rewatch, and I think we're going to have a lot of great things to discuss regarding Sandra and others that were on this incredible season.
Yes. Now, as we've mentioned previously, every single time we've done one of these podcasts, we're focusing on two groups of winners, those who make us wonder how they won and those who did such a good job we think it's worth discussing. I will say, when this originally was airing, some people were scratching their heads.
Yes.
But the queen is in the second group. She certainly played a different type of game than most who are in that group with her. But she is in the good job, worth discussing group.
Right. And I do think that I have to jump in here because I think that it's worth mentioning that at the initial, you know, when this season was airing initially, I do think that most people watching were wondering how this was all going to shake out. And then to see who was in the final two, I do think left a lot of people scratching their heads. So the rewatch, I think, was incredibly beneficial because there were so many things that you don't pick up on when you just watch the season for the first time. And the rewatch, and now I think knowing what we know about Sandra probably helps a lot in our determination as to why she is in this group, in this category. But overall, I remember thinking, my God, how did this woman ever win this season? But on the rewatch, you were completely reminded as to how she did it and why she did it.
That's right. And for the next hour and a half or so, we'll
we will talk that about that. Right.
We'll also talk about Lil, and we'll compare their play to the rules I wrote after the first season and have been modifying ever since. If you'd like to refamiliarize yourself with the version that's on the website right now, before I update them for Survivor 41, You could check it out at robhasawebsite.com/blog/survivor rules. Or you can get the shorter and much more colorful version of the rules in poster form, which includes this very season right smack in the middle with a screaming mad Rupert strangling Johnny Fairplay.
It's perfect. And it's even mentioned in the season, which is so much more fun.
Yes. And in addition to the poster, we have another way you can get the rules. So you could always have them. And that's T-shirt form. And that's you can see a little bit better. There's Rupert strangling Johnny Fairplay.
That's so great.
Who hasn't wanted to strangle Johnny Fairplay?
I know. Get in line.
So for the poster, go to tinyurl.com/DavidRulesPoster2. And for the T-shirt, you can go to robhasawebsite.com or robhasapodcast.com. Click the merch link near the top. That'll take you to the RHAP shop, and you can scroll through to find not just one, but two different designs.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
Oh, that's way too close to the camera. There we go. So there's that. And then, of course, on the back is Y blank one. Y blank lost on the front, one on the back. And you can also get the mug that you see me drinking out of every time.
It's everywhere now. It's all it's over everywhere. T-shirts, posters, mugs, you name it. We've got it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, before we get to the rules, there are always some things I want to mention and discuss about the season. And that's true, even though we covered Pearl Islands a bit during the Wiggle Through Time last year when we discussed why Tijuana lost. In that podcast, we covered some of these other things, too, because you know, we didn't know we were going to be talking about Pearl Islands this week. And so we talked about the Outcast twist. We talked about Austin's quit. We talked about Johnny Fairplay's dead grandma lie. We're not going to rehash the latter two, other than to say this goes back to a question that a patron asked me. Have you changed your mind? Have you found yourself changing your mind a lot as you do the rewatches? And I said, not usually. Johnny Fairplay's dead grandma lie was something I have changed my opinion about. And if you want to hear everything we had to see, we encourage you to go back to that podcast, listen to at least the whole first part, and just stay for the whole thing. Find out why Tijuana lost.
That's right.
Now, I do want to bring up the Outcast twist again, though, even though we discussed it once, because at the time I had dug into my articles surrounding Tijuana's loss and a couple other articles. But looking back this time, I found more interesting information about, you know, what the thought process was of the Outcasts at the time. Because I know on the main podcast, Rob often asks, like, those people, like when I was on the couple times and when other people who have been watching straight through the whole time, how things were received at the time. And I like the people who are a bit younger than me. And they're like, yeah, I was 10 at the time. I was watching it, but I don't know. Because it's true. Yeah, I mean, and there wasn't social media there. So you had to be somewhat plugged in. And I have now found written evidence of answer to that question. So I think it makes sense to discuss it. So taking us back in time. The Outcast twist was not a complete surprise. There were spoilers floating around even before social media. And then even the commercials promised the biggest twist in Survivor history. And, you know, they told us people who'd been voted out were returning. We just, the viewers just didn't know how.
Mm.
And by the way, it aired on the first day of November sweeps, which probably not a coincidence.
Yeah, but here's my question, and all of your digging and looking into this, this was not a twist that the cast knew was going to happen, correct? Yeah, so that I think it makes it interesting just because no one would have been expecting this because it had never been done before. And I think the more Survivor goes along, the more weird twists survivors tend to expect because, oh, well, we've seen this before. And so I feel like this is why it almost felt like it worked, if that makes sense, because I know that we've discussed our dislike. I want to say dislike.
Oh, I've got more dislike.
Yeah, dislike for like Edge of Extinction and, you know, and people returning back into the game. We've talked about that ad nauseum. But I feel like this presented itself differently because it had never been done before. And I feel like the people who were actually out there playing the game didn't really have enough of an opportunity to really kind of process how really unfair it kind of was, right? That these people get voted out and then brought back in. And so you don't really see that happening as the season progresses. It's almost like people forgot Lil got voted out and then got to come back in.
I think there's something else to that, because when we discuss what happened in the, with the final two, there will be more of that. Mm. And just as a bit of a spoiler to that, without jumping ahead, I think there was plenty of that. I mean, we saw Andrew Savage obviously hated it.
Yes, and that's true. Mm-hmm.
I think that somewhere along the line, Survivor production just cut out certain parts so that we didn't have a whole season full of people criticizing their own twist.
Yeah, and that's probably very true. Mm-hmm.
So that's my own thought, and I'll explain why. We'll have to wait till like Appendix B, as
usual. No, we have to wait. Can't jump ahead.
So, I mean, you have to be running while standing still.
that's right.
As her shirt says. Now, some of this will be a little bit repeat from the Why Tijuana Lost podcast, but there's a lot more here. Because one thing about the twist was that Jeff Probst claimed the outcasts were eating a similar diet to the actual players. And I called bullshit even back then, mm-hmm. saying in my episode recap, unless they were subject to the elements, had to sleep in the open or on bad bamboo beds, had to work to do the things necessary to survive, get water, fish, etc., had to compete in challenges, etc., then they had it easy compared to the other two tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even mention the sheer paranoia that keeps people awake on Survivor, which they didn't have to worry about because they weren't in the game anymore.
Right.
I quoted Tijuana's feeling in the prior podcast, which she talked about how the outcasts had time away from the game to think about what they did wrong and fix it, coupled with the issues I just mentioned.
Yeah.
So then there was a question that you just brought up, the bigger question of fairness of bringing back people who had been voted off. And as you mentioned, we may have touched on this topic in general.
just a little bit.
Yeah. But this was, of course, the first time it came up. I said in my episode recap at the time, on the one hand, it's exciting and it keeps the viewers interested.
Mm-hmm.
On the other, I have to agree somewhat with Andrew that it's not really fair. These people were voted out in several cases for very good reasons because they made extremely stupid moves.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're coming back. I know Survivor always changes, but I had hoped that one thing that wouldn't change was that once a person was voted out, they would stay out.
Right.
Ah, well, we'll see where things go from here. I had hoped it would be the last time, but, well, we've seen how that went.
Right.
So I definitely disliked the twist, but I was a bit more forgiving of it than I am now. Probably because nowadays Survivor brings back people into the final five with a damn immunity idol.
Right.
Where with the outcast twist, they still had a lot of game to play. Much is the same way we said during Edge of Extinction. Well, it wouldn't have been so terrible if someone had just come back in at the merge.
Right. And I agree with that assessment that there are a lot of parts of this twist that are terrible. And if I could just spend a few minutes on the food component of it, because that was my like knee-jerk reaction when Jeff was like, and just know that they've been surviving very similarly to you as far as what they're eating. But yes, all of those things you ticked off make a huge difference in your gameplay. And even if they are living on a very, you know, small diet, as Jeff indicated, not that it's exactly the same, but when we were removed from the game in Millennials versus Gen X, they attempted to do the same thing, right? Like we were out of the elements, but they were like wanting to feed us the same way as if we were still on the island. And so we were all given an apple and we were all given a bowl of rice. And that was probably more food I had in that one day than we had had kind of leading up to it, because it was all like everything was just brought to us. You know, it's like it made it much easier. Like I was just kind of hanging out and like, oh, here's your bowl of rice and here's your apple. And that was wonderful. And so there is a very big difference when you have to prepare the food yourself, when you have to get the food yourself, because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, we've prepared food out there that we ended up burning and then couldn't eat. Yeah. And so there's so many other things that come with that food consumption that it does change the fairness of it, regardless of what they are eating. It's just the mere fact of they are being given the food as opposed to having to get the food. So all of that, I do think, is very unfair. And it's no wonder they beat both tribes, considering one tribe is starving because they can't get any food. And the other tribe, though eating, they're not living the same way these people have been living. And so they're able to kind of build up their strength. Of course, they're going to beat both of these tribes. So I don't think that was a shock to see that happen. And I'm sure production probably assumed that was going to happen, because then it made all of this, you know, twist work out so much better.
Right.
So yeah, there's a lot of components of it that I don't like. But if you are going to do something like this, do it at the beginning like they did and leave it at that. Don't bring somebody back in at Final Five like they've done, because I think that's way too far into the game. Do it at the merge and leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. You talked about, you know, we both talked about, you know, gathering food and everything. On this week's South African Survivor, there was a debate between two of the tribe members, you know, like, is it more calories to go out and search for clams and crabs than it is to just sit there and do nothing? You know, are you ending up with a net negative?
Right.
And you know, that goes to the same type of situation.
For sure.
You don't have to go out. Now, of course, for Rupert's tribe, he was the one going out and getting all the food for them, so they just had to sit there mostly.
Right.
But they still had to get firewood and, you know, fix the shelter and everything else.
Right. And it's just the mere fact of, like, having to cook the food. If there is one thing that you really learn to appreciate when you are out on that island, is having a refrigerator. I know that sounds weird, but like, you just live in your house and, oh, I want something to eat, I'll go check the cupboard or the fridge and you can grab something. When you don't have that anymore, it definitely changes your approach to everything, because every little bit of food becomes that much more significant, and everything that you are eating becomes that much more important. And you are willing to eat things that you would never be willing to eat when you're at home. I ate a whole bowl full of sand and rice because I dumped the rice on the ground when I was filling the bowls. And so I took that bowl because I'm not going to give that to someone else. It was my mistake. So I ate dirty rice and I didn't care, because I was like, well, this is my nutrients for the day and this is what I need to eat. And I'm going to eat sand with the rice and I'm not going to complain about it. But you wouldn't do that at home. And, you know, and so it's a huge shift when you are having to kind of hunt and gather and bring in your own food and prepare it, and then also divvy it up fairly. That's another thing too. If production is bringing you the food, guess what? Everyone's getting the same amount of food. When you are having to divide it amongst a tribe, sometimes people take more than they're supposed to, and sometimes they help themselves when they're not supposed to. And so there's that becomes an issue as well. So there's so many issues that don't exist when you are outside of the game that exist when you were in the game that have a huge effect on the game. And so, I know we could go on and on and on about this, but I do think that the fact that they were able to win and come back into the game was not a surprise at all, because I think that they came in with a huge benefit from how they had been surviving up to that point.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Is sand filling? At least it's nice and filling.
It was a little crunchy.
Yeah.
Added a little crunch, you know, a little texture to my rice.
All right. Going back to, at the time, our thoughts, my writers and I, a total of seven of us, did a roundtable article. So often when we had lots of different opinions, we put them all together in one article. It's a lot easier to get seven different writers in a roundtable than it is seven different people on a panel. In podcast days. But we covered the gamut of opinions. My thoughts at the time were as follows, and they may sound similar to some opinions expressed on this very podcast during Edge of Extinction.
Shocking.
Even though that was like, 15 years later. I said, Lil was voted out. She failed to become a part of the ruling alliance in her tribe, and she was gone. Was I personally happy about it? Well, no. But the game isn't based on what makes me happy. I also said Burton, who engineered his own demise in the game, now has a second chance.
Yeah.
Then I continued. Until now, the game has been based on one thing. Fire represents life. When your torch is snuffed, you are told the decision is final. How many times have we heard those words? Now they no longer mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
The decision wasn't final. Fire did not mean life. Overall, I am of several minds about this particular twist. As a viewer, I must admit that I was on the edge of my seat and enjoying myself. As an editor of a reality TV site, anything that brings more viewers and popularity is good for business. As a student of the strategic game, however, I hated it. And therein lies the problem. On the one hand, Survivor is a strategic game where if you follow certain rules, and of course I linked to my rules, you could expect to do pretty well. On the other hand, Survivor is a TV show that needs to continue to attract viewers or else it will wither and die. While there have been numerous other twists previously, the key is that those twists always involve people who were still in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, to be honest, I haven't been in favor of some of those other twists. This one really changes the entire nature of the game. No longer can you stab somebody in the back, watch them get voted out, and not have to worry about it. Now you have to think, will this person end up coming back? That changes everything.
Oh, for sure.
So, that was my thought at the time. Like I said, it was very similar to my thoughts now. Although then when I was, you know, running a reality TV site, I was like, well, I guess it's good for business. I also interviewed Andrew Savage after he was voted out, and he told me, no one will ever convince me that Lil or Burton outwitted, outlasted, or outplayed me because they both were voted off before me fair and square. And, you know, I've had much the same feelings about certain other people who were voted out and returned to the game.
Yeah. Well, and you know what I think is rather crappy as well. And just to throw this out there, I mean, Andrew was clearly running his tribe and he was the person that everyone was looking to for guidance. And there was one particular scene that I thought was actually quite beautiful. I really appreciated just this very small moment where things had, I think everything in their camp was flooding or there was something terrible that was happening and they had to kind of rebuild. Or maybe it was when Sandra took the tarp. That might've been it, when she took the tarp. And they're all kind of standing there, like processing what happened and that they have to rebuild their entire structure. And Lil looks at Savage and goes, it's starting to get dark. And it was just this like moment where like, it was almost like a child talking to their dad. And he was like, yeah, you know, and it was like the whole weight of the tribe was on this man. And in that moment, it was like, Dad, what are we going to do? It's getting dark out, you know, and like, and he had to figure out how to like fix everything in that moment. And you really kind of, it was such a small thing, but I could feel in that moment, just all of the pressure that he had on him from the rest of the tribe. And that guy didn't get a chance to get back in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of when he got voted out. He got voted out right before the merge. And that's where the unfairness of all of this really kicks in, is that you then have people that are getting voted out after someone is given an opportunity to come back in. So why does Lil or Burton get that second chance and Savage doesn't? And so like, I can totally understand why he would be completely angry at that, because he was killing it as far as his tribe was concerned. And then he got voted out right before the merge and he doesn't get that chance. And so that is the other part of this twist, which I think they have tried to correct by having that second opportunity for people to come in, which blows my mind. So it's like, just get rid of it. Just be done with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things that like, there are certain perks to doing it early, but then you think about the people that come later, who have made it farther in the game and don't get that chance either. So it's all of it just comes back to being bad. So I guess that's the takeaway from it.
Yeah. And actually in my article, I talked about that as well, but I didn't want to completely, you know, restate my article. So you just read my mind there. I was also thinking the same thing, you know, with like Edge of Extinction, they made it so those people can come back later. Except the problem is we complained at the time it was still unfair because the people who got out earlier had more opportunities to earn
the tokens
and stuff and earn chances to come back in than the ones who came later. So it's still, you know, they made it unfair again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's they just don't know how to make a fair twist.
Yeah. Well, they get voted out.
Right. Sorry. Yeah. We could go back to that. That's craziness.
Crazy talk.
So that's the Outcast twist. And I think we've now said our full piece twice on the Outcast twist.
We'll move on.
Now, a couple other things I was reminded of in going through my old articles. One was that when I interviewed Rupert, he referred to John as Johnny Foreskin. Now, was that a childish insult? Yes. Do I still find it hysterical? Yes, I do.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Gotta love Rupert. I will say that that is probably one of my favorite memories from Survivor on my initial watch of the season, was when he stole their shoes and pirated all of the, like, to me, like, that was a moment. And I think one of the other things I appreciate about the season is because it was so early. So it's, you're still kind of learning Survivor, right? And so there's still those opportunities for things to happen that have never happened before. And here we have this pirate theme. And then you've got Rupert, who's like stealing their shoes. And you're in your head, you're thinking, this is horrifying for these poor girls who have just lost their other set of footwear, right? Like, this is so unfortunate for them. But what an incredible moment to see Rupert just take that and be like, yeah, go sell these shoes. Like, that was so great. So, yeah. So Rupert gave us a lot of incredible moments, I think, and lots of reasons why he got brought back multiple times, because he's just such entertaining television and just such a genuine person.
Yeah. Now, the thing that the only thing I didn't like about that is we never got the payoff.
Yeah.
At no point. I mean, wasn't there one scene somewhere that went, hey, where'd my shoes go?
Right. I would have loved to have seen that reaction. I completely agree. Yeah.
Come on. How could you not give us that?
Right. Because someone had to have been mad. Like, where did my shoes go?
Yeah. Who traded my shoes? Who lost my shoes? What's going on here?
Which is awesome, too, that, like, at one point, Johnny Fairplay's talking about trading two different types of shoes for something, like a mismatched pair of shoes. Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah.
Now, moving on, a couple other mentions. When I interviewed Lil at the end of the season, she told me she'd been reading my columns. Obviously, that was during her season, not prior to the season, as we'll discuss in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But she said she appreciated them, and that's always nice to hear. And then a couple things struck me in the very first episode. Sandra was given the first confessional of the season. Okay, that can be planned. That's fine. But when Jeff Probst was splitting the people into tribes and introducing them, which was by itself a bit weird, and I don't think we'd seen that before, he brought up Sandra and said, last member of the Drake tribe. Well, lo and behold, what was Sandra?
The last member of the Drake tribe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Other than those things, is there anything else about the season that you want to discuss before we get to the rules?
I did actually appreciate the theme, that this kind of pirate idea, and that they really did bring it all the way through with the whole season. I did like that. Sometimes it can be too much, and I don't feel like it was. I did really like that a lot. And I also just appreciated the beginning where they had to go to this town. I like that they had to acquire their things themselves and not like run up this hill and go and grab everything you can, or get everything off this boat and jump over the side and see what you can come back with, because it really did put demands on them that we don't normally see in the game, where you have to have those interactions with people and you have to try to come together as a team. And I think we saw what came of that when you had two teams approaching it so completely differently, or two tribes. Mm-hmm. You had one that was like coming together and working as a group, and then the other one's just scattered. And so I think in that moment, we learned a lot about each of those people as a tribe, and also so much about Sandra, because Sandra's moment to shine was that moment, right? She was able to communicate with everyone in that town. She got how do you convince someone to give you their entire barbecue when they're like having a legit party with a lot of people? And you're like, hey, you want my necklace? I'll take all of your chicken. I'll take everything. I want it all. Unbelievably impressive. So I mean,
if I was having a party and someone came up to me and said, here, I'll give you, you know, $5,000 or whatever equivalent it would be to take all your food.
Well, okay. And that's what I'm curious about. Like, how much was that necklace actually worth where they were? Because she
I don't know how much it was worth where they were, but she said, I think when I interviewed her, I asked, did she keep the necklace on purpose? She said, no, she just forgot to give it to Jeff. But her kids each had one at home just like it. So it wasn't as big a deal to get rid of it. It's not like it was a one of a kind item.
Right. Well, good for her. So I appreciated the theme very much, and I like how it carried all the way through. So I'll leave it.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Well, when we discussed Todd's win last time, we talked about how he came into Survivor with a plan. Looking at how Sandra won, some people questioned whether she ever had a plan. And it turns out she came in with one as well. It was just a very different type. Unlike some other players, her goal wasn't to control the whole game, but rather to be an eager participant and ensure she didn't get voted off, while maneuvering her way to get the important things she wanted. Is it flashy? No. Was she perfect? Also no. But she got that $1 million and also showed us some important aspects of the game. Why did it work so well for her when others might not have succeeded? Now that we've done a full rewatch, and I've gone back over my interviews and articles from the time to look at them with a fresh perspective, it's time to take a new look at why Sandra won.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The first and most important rule, of course, says to scheme and plot. Sandra wasn't what we would now call a typical schemer, as that role would probably go to someone like Johnny Fairplay. But Sandra definitely came in with a strategy. As she explained in her opening pitch to the jury, Sandra's game plan was to be the person others could come to for a vote, as long as it wasn't her. When I interviewed her, she told me she planned that strategy all along and even mentioned being the person anyone could come to for a vote when she was interviewing for the show with Jeff Probst and Mark Burnett. Now, I know sometimes people might say, oh, sure, she said that after the game. How do we know it's true? Well, Trish, who was voted out much sooner in pre-jury and therefore like never heard, you know, Sandra pitch to the jury, told me in her interview, her strategy was as long as it wasn't her, she would vote anyone off. So Sandra came in with a strategy and she executed it through the whole game.
Yeah, and I think that it was able to work so well for her because of the way that she presented herself. I think that Sandra's so interesting because she could have very well found herself to be one of the first ones voted out because mm-hmm. of the way that she presented herself, right? I think that her saving grace really was the fact that she was able to provide so much for her tribe, as I've already discussed, when they went into town, because then they were in a much better state, right? They had food and they were able to do well on the challenges. And so I think that really put her in a good spot at the start. But I think that for Sandra, this idea of anybody but me could have rubbed people the wrong way if she wasn't adding to her tribe in another way, right? You know, she had provided to them so much food at the beginning because of her ability to talk to the local people. And the fact that like Johnny Fairplay was like, wow, Sandra was amazing. Yes. I mean, to hear someone like Johnny Fairplay complimenting you in the way that he was, clearly that went a long way for her. And so I think that once they saw her desire to compel the tribe forward and to help the tribe, that then this idea of, listen, I'll do whatever you need me to do, really resonated with them, because they already saw her work so hard for them that then they were like, okay, I think that this is going to be a strategy that she's going to work well with, because she's not just lazily sitting there going, well, as long as it's not me, I don't care. I mean, she is really participating and trying and adding to the existence of the tribe and forming those relationships at the same time. So I think that this strategy, it worked for her because it was the way that she had presented herself to them.
Right, right. Like you said, I mean, she was doing other things. This wasn't her only strategy, even though it's obviously what she's known for.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't even completely on the anybody but me train, because she formed an early alliance with Rupert and Krista and even Trish, till Trish turned on Rupert. One reason for aligning with Rupert was she realized he was a valuable and loyal alliance member who would not turn on her.
Right.
And when I asked Krista about Sandra's moves, she said, I agree about Sandra being a schemer. And Krista also brought up that same topic in the final tribal council by noting that Sandra came up with strategic plans.
Yes. And I do think that one of the benefits that Sandra had was she came up with those plans, but was able to openly talk about them with the people that she knew that she had formulated a bond with. And so I like the fact that people were willing to come to her and have conversations, but that she was also not protective of that information if she didn't need to be. You know, she knew what information she needed to share, and she knew what information she needed to have additional conversations with other people. And it was interesting to see that dynamic, that people were still very comfortable coming to Sandra and sharing information with Sandra, even though Sandra didn't always keep it to herself. But
yes,
she just, the way that she did it was so impressive, because nobody saw it as a threat. It was just more of like, Sandra was always kind of willing to be involved in those conversations, and she never pushed back. And I'm curious if that was why it worked so well for her, because she would listen and she'd say, okay, yep, we'll do that. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But she would then utilize that information to her benefit with somebody else and maybe spin things and turn things around. So it was a really interesting dynamic that she was able to develop and hone with each person in the tribe, where no one thought that she was like, oh, well, you can't tell Sandra because she's going to go tell somebody else. That
right.
never came up, even though she was doing it all the time.
Yeah. And then, you know, so that continued. And then once she reached the final five, her gameplay really started to come through, because she was clearly the next target. She knew she needed to change that. She recognized that John was untrustworthy, and she was successful in convincing the other women that Burton and John's relationship was a threat to all of them. And then finally, to ensure that the men would not have a chance to form a counter alliance against her, she convincingly lied to John about being on their side, even swearing on her kids that she'd mm-hmm. vote with them. I mean, if he can swear on his living but claim dead grandma,
right,
why can't she, you know? After it happened, it looked like the jury credited her with voting out Burton, which is true. That was proper credit.
Right.
Now, another aspect of Sandra's game has been highlighted in my rules for a while now, and they relate to the shirt that I'm wearing. Now, I'm wearing the sneaky, sneaky shirt that goes back to Kelly Wentworth. But the rules say any additional part or an additional part of plotting and scheming can also be making good use of sneakiness.
Mm-hmm.
Tony had his spy shack, but long before him, we saw Sandra hiding behind the bushes in Pearl Islands and overhearing Burton and John talking. She was able to use that information to talk to Rupert, who mostly ignored it, and Tijuana, who changed her strategy based on it, but then caused Sandra to turn against her anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, Sandra invented the spy bush.
Yeah, and you know what I think is great, too, about her doing this is that it again seemed almost natural, right? There was something about Sandra's gameplay that it just seemed to fit. when Tony did his Spy Shack, it was a little crazy, and it was like, oh my God, what is Tony doing kind of thing. Sandra was just following people, and she was eavesdropping, and then she was inviting other people into the fold. And again, maybe it was because it was such early Survivor and so new, and we hadn't really seen somebody doing this before. But the fascinating part about watching Sandra do it was just how easy it came to her to just do this. And I do feel like that had to have been a conversation she had with herself coming into this game as well. That, like, I'm going to spy on people. I'm going to do that, because it just was so natural for her. She just did it. They would walk away, she would walk that way, and she would be listening. It was so fun to watch, and it clearly right. benefited her game for sure.
And it was so smart. It was beyond just her, as we mentioned, it was beyond just her listening in. She knew, well, Tijuana might not listen to right. me. She might not believe me.
Mm-hmm.
If I bring her along and she hears it with her own ears.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a spy bush built for two.
Yeah, it was incredible. She clearly was thinking all the way down the line. And that's the problem with Survivor, is people are sharing information. And what do you believe? What do you not believe?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like she had a great relationship with Tijuana. So it was like, how do I bring her into the fold? How do I make her trust me? Oh, well, if she hears it right from the horse's mouth, it's going to be much different. Her realization will be much different than if I'm just trying to explain it to her. She might not have that realization. So yeah, the fact that she did that in addition to just spying herself was huge. It was 100% like a great move on her part. So yes, yeah, sneaky, sneaky. Absolutely. She mm-hmm. gets credit for that.
Yes. Yes. All right. Moving to Lil. I mentioned earlier that she read my columns while the show was airing and, you know, kind of snidely mentioned she obviously hadn't read them ahead of time. And I say that because she also told me she came into the game knowing very little about the logistics and the how to of the game.
Mm.
Quote, I knew enough, but if you know me a bit as a person, I'm not good at being deceitful. We noticed. Well, in my first Why Lil Lost column, I said Lil has been notably absent from the plotting, even going so far as to mention in her final words, what we thought were her final words, that the game is full of lying and deceit, and she's not good at either.
Yeah.
Savage said in the very first episode, Lil is not conniving. Lil just tells you the truth. And Tijuana told me in her interview, Lil will admit she didn't know how to play the game in the beginning. So I think all that's pretty clear. But we're not talking about why Lil lost the first time. We're talking about the second time. And that's where things get a bit more interesting, because as Tijuana told me, Lil, quote, had the opportunity to fix her mistakes the second time around. And she was discussing that as part of the unfairness of the Outcast twist, and said Lil had the opportunity to think for 9 days away from the dynamics of the game and contemplate what she did wrong in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Lil came back, she definitely started to adapt a bit. She didn't really initiate anything of her own for a while, but she joined with John and Burton to help run their schemes. And then she turned on them when they were going to, when they told her they were going to toss Dara. And after that, she flipped back against Dara. So it was late in coming, but she finally did some conniving of her own.
Right.
And, you know, it was funny because when I interviewed her the first time, of course, not knowing it would be the first of two times, I asked her about lying and deceiving. And she said, if I had lasted longer, who is to say I wouldn't have warmed up to what this game actually is? And that is lying, cheating, and stealing.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it was a nice little clue.
Mm-hmm.
And in her second interview, I brought that up and she said, oh, yes. Did I ever warm up to the actual reason and logistics of the game?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to jump in here. It's too late at that point. Because,
well, I think so, too.
You know, I think her biggest problem was that you can't get past who you are at the beginning of the game. If you present yourself in a certain fashion, that is the person that people expect you to be throughout the game, right? And so if you are going to be this very kind, nice, generous person who can't backstab and can't lie, and you want to present yourself as very loyal, that's the person that people will expect you to be, you know, down the road. And I think that she put herself in a very, very difficult situation when she then decided, oh, this is the game that I need to be playing. It's about backstabbing. It's about lying. It's not about Scout's honor. I need to actually play this game. But unfortunately, too many people had seen how she played at the beginning, and then people couldn't forgive her for doing those things later because they had already seen what Lil was. And now all of a sudden it's much more offensive that Lil is playing the game and she's scheming and she's plotting and she's voting people out for, you know, reasons, and she's lying to people that she didn't lie to before. And I think that really offended people because that wasn't the Lil that they knew.
Yeah. And I'll have more to say about that in a few minutes and then probably later as well. But the only thing I would add to that is, remember, she had only interacted with the Morgan tribe people.
Right.
So the Drake people didn't know. I mean, they probably had a good idea who Lil was, and mm-hmm. they heard about it, but they had never really solidly interacted.
Well, but she had been kidnapped too, right?
Had she?
I feel like she had been. I feel like she had been kidnapped.
No, because there was only one kidnap. The kidnap was, the kidnaps were China. The stealing, the pillaging.
Oh, pillaging. Okay.
And the only kidnap, I think, was Rupert, when they kidnapped Rupert.
Right. Maybe so it was Rupert, just the pillaging that she had interactions with people then.
Right.
Yeah.
But there was something here in what I was saying about another part of the unfairness, going back to that, was, and what she told me reminded me of one thing that you and I complained about a lot with Edge of Extinction, because she said to me, while sitting out of the game the first time, I talked to Ryan Shoulders about how the game was played and what we needed to have done to stay in the game. Ryan is what I would call an expert in the game. He gave me his views on how this game should be played and what we did wrong. I remembered what he said. I did what I had to do because I didn't want to blow the second chance. Now, that sounds an awful lot like what we heard about the Edge of Extinction returnee the first time, who got explicit instructions on this is what you need to do to win the game.
Yeah.
Now, Edge of Extinction was worse because it was literal jurors telling him this is how you get my vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still, this is another advantage that, you know, we didn't even think about at the time. She got to talk. And they got to swap strategy and make plans.
Right. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you get a do-over. You get a second chance. And I think for anyone who's playing Survivor or has played, you'd love a second chance.
Right.
You'd love to have an opportunity to go back in and fix everything that you did wrong and make amends and play the game the way that you should so you don't get voted out. But that's not what Survivor is about. And someone like Lil, who was coming into the game, not understanding it, not really knowing how to play it, well, maybe she should have figured that out before she walked in the first time, right? Like,
absolutely.
Maybe that's some, you got to do some research before you play this game. So the fact that she had an opportunity to then study up on the game after she'd been voted out for this chance to get back in, I think is definitely, it does add to that unfairness because it's something that she would have never done. And now all of a sudden it's like Lil had an epiphany about how she's supposed to play the game. Actually, no, she had a conversation with Ryan about how she was supposed to play the game.
Right. All right. Moving on to the second rule. It says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. And I think it's pretty clear that Sandra did not scheme and plot too much. And she generally did an excellent job of keeping her scheming secret. That's why she was never seen as a threat, because it always seemed that someone else was in control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be said that somebody else always was in control almost all the time. But she was able to decide which side she was on when there was a choice between two people who thought they were in control.
Right. And I do think that it worked very well for Sandra in the dynamic that she found herself in with having certain people on her tribe, like Rupert. I mean, Rupert was such an integral part of her game and her ability to kind of sit back and be in the shadows a little bit, because she knew she had Rupert and she knew that she and Rupert were close. And so I don't think that she needed to go overboard and needed to do too much because there wasn't any necessity for it. She didn't need to try to save herself because she knew she had Rupert and she had Krista, and she had an ability to know what's happening in the game. And as we discussed before, the idea that anybody but me, so she was someone who could work well with everybody who was there. So she really didn't need to do anything to the extreme because it just wasn't necessary.
Right. Now, There was one issue, though. We often talk about the problems with obvious duos. Mm-hmm. In this case, early on, there was an obvious trio with Sandra, Rupert, and Krista, which caused John and Burton to want to break them up. And they did, indeed, succeed in getting rid of Rupert. But even then, Sandra was considered the last person to be concerned about
right.
for those who were targeting them. They, you know, and we'll discuss this more in the sixth rule, of course. But yeah, they were like, well, we'll get rid of Rupert. And if he wins immunity, we'll get rid of Krista. At right. no point did they say, oh, and we'll target Sandra in this situation.
You yeah, know? She was the least like threatening person out of her three, right. for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, for Lil, although she did too little scheming in her first stint, much of the jury was really mad at what she did her second time around. For some of the reasons you just mentioned, and because she was supposedly representing the Boy Scouts and had the nerve to lie in the game. Now, I said in my second Why Lil Lost column, she didn't lie any more than any of the others, less than most. But they had a perception that she did it more because she helped to get each of them voted off, in some cases, such as with Rupert, lying directly to their faces. So while she didn't really scheme and plot too much, she was blamed for scheming and plotting too much. Is this fair? In my opinion, no. For the others to say Lil shouldn't lie because she happened to be wearing a scout uniform, but everybody else could lie because they weren't, is hypocritical. She didn't choose to wear that uniform throughout the game. However, I found out that's not quite the whole story, and I continued. It should be noted that she did choose to wear it for publicity photos. So in a way, she was indeed planning to represent the scouts.
Yes.
And I do think that players looked at it that way. And I interviewed Rupert after the finale, instead of when he was booted, which was good because I got more information from him, because when he was booted, he was, quote, unavailable. Well, he was out shooting All-Stars. And I asked him if it was fair that so many people held it against Lil that she represented the Boy Scouts and lied when it really wasn't her choice to play the game in her Scouts uniform. Rupert pointed out, Lil represented herself as a scoutmaster in her video, in her application, in the whole qualification process of Survivor. Lil chose to portray herself as that scoutmaster.
Mm-hmm.
And he raises a good point that until he mentioned that, I honestly had not thought about. And, you know, I like Rupert. He's not a brilliant strategist. So you don't often hear something from Rupert that makes a light bulb go off. But
right.
this did. You know, I was just thinking of her being in a bad situation, stuck with the uniform on. But if she promoted herself and portrayed herself that way, then it was more than just the uniform. And mind you, I still obviously think that people should be able to lie in a game. But it better explains the jury's position, as does what you said. You know, those people who saw her one way and then boom, she comes back a completely mm-hmm. different way.
Yeah. And I do think that this is something that future Survivor players should be very mindful of. Clothing becomes very significant. And I know that there is some discussion about whether or not you get to choose what you're going to wear if you're playing the game. But everything that you wear is going to be something that someone's going to see you in and someone's mm-hmm. going to potentially judge you on, right? Now, just to use myself as an example, I didn't want anybody to know that I was a lawyer, right? I just didn't want that. I didn't want anyone to have a perception of me because I was a lawyer. And so I didn't want people to know that. Now, when I was in casting at one point in time, I was waiting to be called in to some big something or other. And the plan had been all along, I was going to wear a suit. It was a major discussion. It was something I had talked about with my casting person. But I didn't know what time I was going to get called. And we were on a very strict schedule. And so I had to go to lunch and I had to be down in a common area with other potential Survivor players. And I'm wearing my suit. Okay. So here I am sitting there going, oh my God, who's going to see me in the suit? Because I didn't know if I was going to get a call, right. You got to go right now. And so you end up having this conversation in your own head for a very long time. If someone sees me in this, what are they going to think about me? And what types of things are they going to decide about me? I was doing that to every person I saw. I was writing down what they were wearing and what could that potentially mean, because you're trying to represent yourself, right? And that's what Survivor tells you all the time. Wear something that represents you. And so the fact that Lil was choosing to wear a scout's uniform, regardless of whether or not she had ended up wearing it in the game, that was what she was putting out there for people to see her in. And so if she's doing cast photos, and she's doing them and publicity photos with the entire cast, they are all going to see her in that uniform, regardless of her wearing it in the game. So even if she got to change, it's going to be in their mind that she's a scout leader. And so that comes with it a certain type of person and the honor component of it. And that is something that will resonate through regardless of you wearing the uniform later. And so her being upset that she had to wear it for the whole game, no, it doesn't matter because you were choosing to wear it in a situation where everyone was going to see you and everyone is going to then make a determination about you based upon what you're wearing.
Right, right. All right, so we could go on to the third rule, which talks about being flexible. And usually when we get to this rule, I ask you, hey, Jessica, how do you think the person did? But in this case, it's freaking Sandra, the woman who invented anybody but me.
Right.
So
right.
I'm not even going to ask you such an obvious question. Yes.
I was just going to say anybody but me.
Yeah. Sandra, well, anybody but you will answer the question, which on this podcast is me.
Okay.
So yeah, Sandra was the ultimate in flexibility, willing to go along with any plan that benefited her.
Yes. Oh, 100%. But you know what I think is so fun, too? Is I feel like the anybody but me, like actual comment that she made came much later in the game. It was kind of like just something she was doing, but the anybody but me, like actual like phraseology, I feel like came much later in the season than I remember it being.
I think I caught it once and I don't have my handwritten notes. I didn't translate that into my computerized notes, but I do know it came up. And like I said, Trish, who was voted out fairly early, mentioned it as well. So clearly she was saying it.
Right. But I don't know how soon it made air, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So as far as Lil, she learned to be more flexible when she returned to the game. Mm-hmm. We already discussed that and her jumping back and forth a little bit. So I don't know that we need to cover that again.
Yeah, no, I think we're good.
So the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. And while Sandra could certainly show her emotions sometimes, as we'll discuss in the fifth rule, we could also look back at what we just discussed in the third to see that she didn't let her emotions get in the way when it came to making a decision about a particular vote.
Mm-hmm.
A good example was the situation when she tried to take the fish, but accidentally dumped them after the Rupert blindside. And she saw that her ally and friend Krista was being blamed, and many players we've seen over the years would have fessed up out of honor or loyalty or guilt. Sandra knew it had to remain a secret or she was dead meat.
Yeah.
And yeah, it meant her ally and her friend Krista was blamed, but anyone but her.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the same attitude she had in all the votes when she needed to go against someone, worrying about the strategy of the situation, not how she felt about them personally.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that it's really impressive that she was able to control herself in that moment because her and Krista were so close. But it really did show you just how important it was for her to continue this mindset that she had. She was all about winning and getting to the end, and it didn't matter who she needed to vote out or who she needed to hurt in the process, even if it was her closest ally. And I know that wasn't she did do that on purpose, but that's what it turned into. And that's what it was.
Right. Right. Now, another good example was when she had worked to convince Tijuana and Dara to come to her side, but then she flipped on them.
Yeah.
Even though she appeared to like Tijuana and Dara a lot more than John and Burton, and who can blame her, she decided to get rid of Tijuana. Similarly, when she decided to go along with Lil and John to get rid of Dara, it was done based on strategy and not emotion. Mm-hmm. If it had been based on emotion, she certainly would have gotten rid of John again. And who could have blamed her?
Right.
But she stuck with the strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Now, Lil, on the other hand, definitely played with a lot of emotion. Sometimes it came up in her actions in terms of being sorry for what she'd done. Sometimes it directly affected her plans. And it certainly drove her final decision in terms of who she would take to the end, because she didn't want Johnny Fairplay to even have a sniff of $1 million.
Yeah. And I think that it's interesting that I almost feel like Lil was disingenuous with how she actually felt about things and wanted to appear as though things were more difficult on her and appear as though it was like someone said, and I know we're not there yet, but like she would apologize a lot. You know, there was always like an I'm sorry for the things that she was doing instead of just an ownership for doing it. And I'm curious if it was more of an act where like she felt like because this is people, because one of the things she kept saying was everybody thinks I'm too nice and nobody wants to bring me to the final two because I'm too nice, that she then kind of played up that idea that she was too nice and that things really affected her greatly and that she was very emotional about things. I don't know, but I just kind of felt like some of it was, it was kind of over the top.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I've known people like that. I've had employees like that. Every time they do something wrong and they apologize, they do something wrong, they stop apologizing. Just don't do it wrong.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, and so, and I don't think it was an act for any of those people that I knew. I think they just couldn't help themselves.
Right.
And I think it was the same for her personally.
Yeah, I don't know. It was, it might have been a little too much for my.
Yeah. Liking. Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it was a little too much for the jury's liking, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The fifth rule talks about the social game and reminds players that they need to pretend to be nice. We saw that Sandra could get, as Jeff put it, lippy. I would say angry, as she blew up a few times.
And she could be effing loud, too, you know?
That's right. That's right. With that in mind, how do you think she did in terms of this rule?
Well, I think it's interesting because I feel like she should have offended people so much more. Like, I think like the idea we have of Sandra is that she's this very like aggressive and in your face, like rude kind of person, because that's what Sandra has been kind of built into. But the rewatch of this season, Sandra's not that at all. She is really a very likable person who has the ability to just be brutally honest. She'll tell you what she thinks, but she doesn't do it in a hurtful way. And so I feel like,
unless you're Johnny Fairplay.
Well, right. But here's the thing. I do think that the things that she said to him were appropriate. And I think that they had a reason. So I feel like that's the interesting thing about Sandra, is that everything that Sandra says, there's a reason for it. She's not doing it to be difficult or to be problematic. She's doing it because it's based upon something. And she and Johnny Fairplay, they butted heads, and he said things to her that were terrible, and she said things back to him that were terrible. And so there was that. It was like a dual hatred, if you will. And so they would say things to each other that might rub somebody else the wrong way. But she was not, I mean, she was very genuine with Krista, with Rupert. So I do think that there is this idea that Sandra is this terribly mean in person, but she's really, really not.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she is a nice person who did not pretend to be nice.
Right. Sometimes. Exactly.
You know, we saw her argument with John, and I asked her when I interviewed her if she had any other major fights. She said she had a fight with Burton the first time he got voted off because he didn't realize she was sneaky. She was behind him when he was talking to John, and John didn't let Burton know that she was standing right there. It wasn't a behind the bush situation. It was she was right there, and Burton just didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And Burton was saying how they were going to get rid of her. And she said, so I just blew up. But the thing is, her anger didn't work against her the way it has against so many other people.
Right.
She also told me so many things happened that I did out of anger, and nothing ever came back to bite me. And I think it's in general, like you said, she was just seen as both nice and straightforward. And that combination, along with other aspects of her personality, let her get away with behavior like that.
Right.
People didn't view her as a jerk or a bitch or whatever. They saw her as a straight shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave her props for speaking her mind.
Yep.
They seemed to feel that deep down she was, like you said, she was a nice person. She told it like it was.
Yeah. And I think that this is why she and Lil are so polar opposites, because someone like Sandra, people weren't surprised. They weren't shocked when she would yell and get a little loud, or when she would tell it like it is, as you said, because that was what they knew of Sandra. But Lil, people had a different expectation of, because of the way she had presented herself as the scout leader and as nice and trustworthy and honorable and all of these things. And so it really does affect people's decisions much differently when they see how you're acting based upon what they know of you. And this is what they knew of Sandra. They'd seen her wheel and deal with the locals. They had seen her interacting with everybody. I mean, she really, I truly believe because of that first moment, those interactions, Sandra put herself in a great position with the rest of her tribe because they learned so much about her from the moment that the game started because of her ability to relate to people and her ability to come at people, get what you need. And I really think that that told a story about Sandra. And so once Sandra was on the island with these people, that's kind of what they expected of her to be the same way. Right. And so her and Lil were so opposite in this regard, where Lil didn't pretend to be nice. Lil was perceived as being too nice. Mm-hmm. And so that was the way she presented herself. And it wasn't the way that Sandra presented herself.
Yeah, with Lil, I mean, she was that interesting case because we heard over and over again that people thought Lil would win at the end because she was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, not everybody felt that way. We already know Savage wasn't a fan, and he told me a big reason that she was outside the main group was she, quote, was a loner who would walk up and down the beach all day long gathering firewood, never ever making an effort to interact with the rest of us. The opportunity to get to know everyone was equal to all, and Lil and Skinny Ryan simply chose not to get to know or interact with the bulk of the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that might have been Savage being Savage in more ways than one, but Tijuana backed him up, telling me, I disagree with Lil about being left out. Initially, that could have been her excuse, but Lil and I had a heart-to-heart while swimming in the water, and she told me she felt left out because of her age. I personally had no issue with Lil's age, and I didn't know she felt left out. Thereafter, I asked her a few times if she wanted to come crab hunting with Dara and I, and she said no time and time again. Aside from that, there wasn't any other time that we were in exclusive subgroups. We were all around each other. Furthermore, as a survivor out there, it's your job and no one else's to represent yourself to the fullest.
Right.
We all had to do it. If they felt left out, they should have done something about it besides complain.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think that that is something that we saw happen with Lil that we didn't see happen with Sandra. You know, Sandra is the type of person who, because she has that personality that is being brutally honest or a little more forthcoming and willing to speak her mind, that she could have been someone that people would not have decided to interact with. But someone like Rupert loved Sandra and still mm-hmm. loved Sandra.
Right.
And Rupert is one of the nicest people that you'll probably ever see play the game of Survivor. And so if someone like Rupert can form such a close bond with someone like Sandra, you know that genuinely she is just a nice person, but she is just a little more open and willing to talk than Rupert might be about things and how she's feeling. And so I do think that, you know, it's just an interesting dynamic to see how you can fit in with people, even if you have a different type of personality. And I don't think Lil was allowing herself to do that because she walled herself off. She decided,
right,
I'm not like these people. And because I'm not like them, they are not going to like me. And she decided how they were going to perceive her as opposed to allowing them to make their own judgments and perceptions of her. She completely walled herself off and then felt bad for herself because I'm not accepted into this tribe. Well, if you don't allow yourself to be accepted, you can't blame them for not accepting you.
Right, right. Now, you know, all that we've talked about was before she was voted out and came back, but I think a lot of it carried over, especially with her original tribe mates who made it to the jury. I asked Krista if people really thought Lil being nice would be a problem in the final two. I know Krista wasn't, sorry, that was a bad transition there. But I did ask Krista, and she said she didn't think people actually thought Lil was nice, but a lot of them would play that up as a reason to vote her out ASAP. Now, it
yes.
never worked, but it was, you know, the whole thing we've talked about many times, point to someone and say they're a threat for this reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I also asked Sandra if she was actually worried about facing Lil in the final two, because Sandra said on the show several times that. And Sandra told me, I believed others liked her better than me. I never had any indication to think otherwise. That's why I only made plans for the $100,000, and I was in shock. How ironic that in a previous episode, Jeff asked me who would I hate to go up against? And I said Lil, because everybody loves her or likes her, something like that. And yeah, you know, Johnny Fairplay even told Dara in episode 12 that nobody could beat Lil in the final two. To steal a line from future Sandra, I don't know about that.
That's right. She proved him wrong.
Yeah. Now, the sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat, and Sandra was obviously a superstar here. We've already mentioned it a couple times. She was the opposite of a threat.
Mm-hmm.
I said in my original Why Sandra Won article, she was so non-threatening that people probably would have forgotten she was there if she wouldn't have been swearing at them. Nobody worried about Sandra winning immunity. Nobody worried about her getting voted off before she could convince the jury of what a great player she was. She didn't just fly under the radar. She tunneled beneath the ground.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a huge part of the reason Sandra didn't receive a single vote against her. She was almost always available to use as a vote rather than trying to impose her will on others.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't going to win a bunch of immunity challenges. She was just never tops on anybody's mind.
Right. And she aligned herself with people that were much bigger threats.
Bingo.
Which just put her down lower on that totem pole, because as you already said, Rupert's going to go first. If Rupert wins, then Chris is going to go. Nobody was talking about Sandra, and those were her closest allies, but she was not seen as running the show in relationship to her allies. So she definitely flew way below the radar in order to get herself as far as she did in the game and clearly win.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, as for Lil, we just discussed how some people thought she was a threat to win at the end because of likability, but compared with all the other players, she also ranked low on the threat scale, probably just one higher than Sandra.
Yeah, and I do think it's interesting, this idea that everyone kept talking about her being so likable and not wanting to go to the end with her because she was unbeatable. It's almost like if you talk about it enough, it becomes a thing. And I think that it was almost being said in front of Lil to convince Lil of the same thing, because Lil was repeating it too. And I thought it was fascinating that why would you choose something that people are saying about you as a negative? Like, Lil, nobody wants to go against you because you're too nice. And then she would repeat it to other people. But, well, nobody's going to take me to the end because I'm too nice and nobody wants to go up against me. So it's interesting that she still ended up. I mean, obviously she won that final immunity, but I do think that it was fascinating to hear that narrative just kind of going through the tribe the way that it did, and that she was actually saying it as well.
Right. And it's funny because one topic you and I often talk about is how if a person is repeatedly mentioned as a threat to win, it can become that self-fulfilling prophecy
right.
for the other players.
Right.
This season may be the biggest exception to that.
Right.
Because, yeah, Lil was supposedly going to beat anyone because of how nice she was. But the jury, for reasons that we'll get to in a couple minutes here, was never actually going to vote for her.
Clearly backfired for her.
So, I had to jump ahead to get that note.
I'm not following.
No, it's fine. I didn't know where to put that note, so I put it later, but you brought it up sooner, so it fits perfectly there. All right. Going into the seventh rule, well, that covers idols and advantages. We can skip that one. We're too early in the game there.
Yep.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So with that in mind, we can move to Appendix A, which is about keeping your end goals in mind when voting, and says to vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Now, one thing I thought was interesting, and this was brought up on the main podcast with Rob, was that the Sandra and John fight in episode 3 that we talked about was sparked because John talked about having Sandra sit out a challenge. Now, even though we know she often sat out and did so even more in future seasons, she was mad about it in this case because it looked to her like he was setting her up to appear to be the weakest player.
Right.
And she knew she didn't want to be tagged with this label because, well, vote out the weak and the strong, weak. But this was the weak part.
Right.
You know, and of course, the funniest part of that fight, to my mind, was the end, where John told us, I got a mill that says she won't be the final one.
I know. I loved that. That was
and
great.
And it's like, well, was that a bet? I got a mill that normally that's a bet. So do you owe her another $1 million?
I think so.
Now, aside from that, there was a lot of aiming at the weak and the strong. And for example, at Lil's urging, they voted out Dara in fourth place because she was the strongest competitor after they had voted out Burton, who was also the strongest at the time. So there was a lot of this flipping back and forth, you know, I think fairly appropriately targeting the weak than the strong.
Yeah, and I do think that, again, I've already mentioned it, but because Sandra's tribe was doing so well from the start, because they actually had food and they were able to survive on an island with a lot more than the other tribe had, I think it put her in a really great position, because if you run into a situation where her tribe loses immunity first, then this is where it becomes a potential issue for her, right? That if she's not the strongest player, and if you're looking for a reason to vote somebody out first, who do you pick? Someone who is viewed as not the strongest player. And so I think that the fact they were able to get through so many immunities early on really helped her stay in the game, obviously, because they didn't have to go to tribal council. So there was no reason to look at who's the weakest one here and who are we going to vote out first. That wasn't a problem because they avoided so many tribal councils.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We can move to Appendix B, which covers the jury phase and final tribal council. Now, last podcast, we discussed how Todd was a superstar in this regard. But I'm afraid we can't say the same thing about Sandra here. It was just not a great final tribal council for either Sandra or Lil.
Well, but you already mentioned that she was kind of going into it thinking, I'm getting second place, right? That I'm just going to get $100,000
well,
here.
That could be part of it, you know, but
for sure.
She opened by talking about how people could come to her and she'd have their backs, while Lil said her strategy was to be herself and be kind. I mean, at least Sandra had some good answers. When Rhino asked her if she rode coattails, she noted, look, I was in the game a long time after Rupert left, so don't accuse me of riding on on Rupert's back. When Rupert asked his question of her, she kissed up to him, which is a good thing to do. Now, it was unnecessary. It was Rupert. He was always going to, you know, vote for her. But still, you don't want to lose someone by failing to properly kiss up to them.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and then, as I mentioned way earlier in Rule 1, Krista helped Sandra out by noting that she came up with strategic plans and asking her about her craziest plotting and scheming, which allowed Sandra to talk about how she hid in the bushes to listen in on Burton and Johnny Fairplay, which otherwise might not have come out. I mean, maybe Tijuana had told the jury, maybe not.
Right.
And so she was able to make a few points like that.
And I love, too, that on one of the questions she was asked, she pointed it back at Lil about how you're all sitting there because of Lil, and made the fact, well, but I know where you're going with this. I can tell from your face that Lil should be credited, right? That she was able to appropriately vote people out, put them on the jury. But the way that Sandra spun it, it was so fascinating because she made it sound like you should all be pissed off at Lil because she turned her back on you and put you all over there and went against the will, you know, the Lil that was being represented as this honorable, nice person. You should all be mad because she's not the Lil that she presented herself to be. She actually lied to you and voted you out. And that's why you're all sitting over there. So I was like, ooh, that could have been bad, but I think it went very well for her, clearly.
And I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, I mean, the why it went very well. But I do think it comes in light of what she was thinking. Oh, they're going to vote for Lil because she's nice. So if I make her out to be not so nice.
Right.
But Lil had even said leading up to it, no one should vote for just the nice person. They should vote according to strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sandra hands her this by saying strategically, she's the reason that you're all there. And to my mind, oh my God, when I had forgotten about that until I rewatched it, and I was like, oh my God, Sandra, what are you doing? Even knowing that she won, obviously.
Right.
To my mind, that's a huge miss. A huge
mess
up.
But I think it worked for Sandra. It worked for Sandra.
But I don't know. I don't know how. Well, I do know how it worked. I'll get there in a second. Sorry, I've got too many things going on in my mind here. So let me talk about this first. Because when I wrote my article about the outcasts that I mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
I talked about the potential for bringing one of them to the end, not knowing, of course, that someone would indeed make the final two, much like in The Edge of Extinction, in the pregame podcast, you and I said, this is a terrible twist. Someone could be voted out super early and make it to the end and somehow win. Now, we didn't think that would happen. Anyway, in this case, I said, you know, I was talking about that possibility. And I said, all the others would love to be against any one of them at the end. It would make for an easy jury argument.
Right.
I was here the whole time. She or he wasn't. She or he was voted out once. And we all know she or he didn't deserve to come back. So stand up and vote for me because I deserve it more. Sandra missed this.
Yes, she did.
You know, Sandra should have realized this was a major point to be used against Lil.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, why didn't you? Why didn't you bring that up more? And she said it didn't come to mind. Looking at it now, I should have.
Right.
I mean, Rhino even opened the door for her, asking Lil if it was fair that she was out of the game for a while. Now, what I do find interesting is that no one got mad and yelled, the theme is not on trial. The theme is always on trial.
It is.
Yeah. But the thing is that, yeah, even though Sandra didn't harp on the point, it was already in the forefront of the jury's mind. And this is what I've kind of been building up to.
Yeah.
Because Lil told me twice in the same interview, using almost the same words, I was told that being an outcast, I wouldn't have gotten the votes at the end. I took that to heart and understand where they were coming from. And she later added to me, so this makes like a third time, here I was, an outcast who came back into the game, and they weren't going to give me any leeway. It's too bad certain Edge of Extinction jurors didn't watch this season just before playing, but mm-hmm. I digress once again. It's interesting that we didn't really get to see this side of things. And like I said earlier, this is why I suspect production didn't want to knock their own twist.
Yeah.
You know, that they didn't want everybody in the jury talking about, Lil's never going to win because she's an outcast.
Right.
So, you know, but they couldn't totally ignore it because Rhino asked a question about it. So they put in that part as a little bit of a hint. But, I mean, Lil was apparently told flat out, you're never getting our votes.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, that wasn't how anything was being represented to Lil while she was out there. It was, oh, nobody wants to go to the end with you because you're too nice. And so I feel like it was this almost like this. Oh, like I want to call it like a backhanded compliment, you know, where they're like they want to convince her of something like, oh, no, you know, no one wants to go to the end with you because you're going to win, and convincing Lil of that. When in actuality, they're probably all thinking, no, we all want to go to the end with you, Lil, because we're all going to beat you because you're an outcast. So you don't want to tell her the real reason that you want to go to the end with her.
Well, except
so you,
some apparently did.
But at what point did they tell her?
I don't know. That's the thing. The way I felt it from her interviews, she found out about it ahead of time. But maybe not. Maybe she heard about it afterwards.
She heard about it afterwards. I don't think it was quite possible then. Yeah, because it would seem strange that there would be this building of Lil to like no one wants to go to the end with you.
Right.
And then somehow, you know, that wasn't included and missed because it was such a big deal that Lil was so nice and no one wants to go to the end with her because she's so nice.
Right. And it does bring up like Dara. Dara screwed herself royally by, you know, I mean, I know this isn't why Dara lost, but Lil said, will you go to the end with me? And Dara was like, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to see.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, just say yes.
Right.
You know,
say yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
If someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
yes.
So, yeah. But, yeah, like you said, as the numbers dwindled down, the topic of Lil being nice kept coming up at tribal council. And like I mentioned, ironically, Lil was the one saying, oh, no, consider strategy. But and then, you know, compounding it in final tribal council. It got back to the question you were talking about, which I was just, you know, my mind was exploding. Like I said, it was a terrible argument, although I do think you put it in a better light for me, keeping in mind. You kind of, you know, like I put a couple of dots, you connected them for me, you know, in that. Yeah. If Sandra went in thinking they're all saying she's too nice, then yes, saying, oh, look, she's not as nice as you thought she was. She right. put you on the jury.
Right.
That does put it in a different light. And that was a light I didn't get back in the original thing either. So you've shown the heavenly Jessica light on me.
Look
here.
Look at me. Know.
Hallelujah.
I love it.
And, you know, and the thing is, it did flip one vote against Sandra, Tijuana, who, you know, I think was the one who asked the question. But that was the only one because Tijuana told me, you know, well, yeah, that was a, you know, terrible question that she asked. And it made her realize that, oh, Lil did have strategy. I should vote that way.
Right. Yeah.
So now, overall, in final tribal council, I think Sandra explained her strategy. She was honest, and that's what the jury was looking for.
Right.
On the other hand, it's not really clear what the jury wanted from Lil other than for her not to have existed anymore. you know, she told me the jury was bitter and angry, and she was hurt and shocked by the way they all turned on her. She said, I did wear the uniform, and they held me at a higher level than they would themselves. I think all in all, I didn't get the vote because I was an outcast and I did wear the scout uniform. And Lil was absolutely right when she told Johnny Fairplay, of all people, this game has nothing to do with honor and integrity. And she later said, this was a game. Put the scout uniform aside. But it just wasn't going to happen because
right.
pretty much all of the jury's minds were already made up when they arrived. Lil was an outcast and she was destined to be at most a second place player.
Yeah.
So, all right, with all of that in mind, it's time to wrap things up. So, Jessica, what are your final thoughts about Sandra, or at least I should say about Sandra in the Pearl Islands?
I'm sad that I have to limit it to just the Pearl Islands. I really am, because I think that Sandra is someone who has become such a huge part of Survivor. That it's difficult to contain it, right?
Literally a huge part, like a huge statue. You
know? Yeah, she's got a huge statue, right? But I will say that Krista, I think, said it best when she talked about both Lil and Sandra being the final two, that no one would have anticipated those two being the final two. And that was spot on because nobody did. I don't think looking at this cast from day one when everyone was being introduced that anyone thought that those two people would be sitting in the final tribal council. One obviously had a little extra help getting there because she got to come back in and try again. So that being said, I do think that the theme of this whole season is an interesting one, or at least the name that was given to the third tribe, the outcasts, because Lil almost created her own self as an outcast before that name even entered this game, right? Because she
remember, they got to name their own tribe.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So before that name even existed, mm-hmm. Lil had already kind of become an outcast, right? She had separated herself from her tribe. She had really, as I said, built a wall around herself and didn't integrate herself into that tribe. And so she was already kind of seen as an outcast, not just for that reason, but also for the way that she presented herself in addition to that uniform, which I know she has discussed a lot and should have never worn it. But again, when you put yourself out there to be a certain way, that is the way people are going to perceive you, and they are going to have certain ideas of you because of it. And I think that this duo that we had in the final two were such a great complement to each other because they were polar opposites. You had the scout leader, honor, and integrity. And then you had Sandra, who was like, I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to tell it like it is. I'm not going to pretend to be anything I'm not. You are going to know exactly what you're getting because I'm going to tell you. And so we got to see this incredible dynamic between these two people play out in a final tribal council. And I do think that Sandra had the ability to get through this game and to win this game because she was completely true to herself. She didn't have to make excuses or apologies like we saw Lil having to do. Lil sat in that final tribal council having to apologize for wearing a scout uniform, saying, I should have never worn it. This is not what the game is about. And really having to make excuses about how she fit into this game that she really didn't fit into. Whereas Sandra didn't have to make those apologies. She didn't have to come up with an exception. She was just Sandra playing the game the way she wanted to play the game, which put her in a much different place than Lil ever was. Sandra could be Sandra. Sandra wasn't representing anybody but Sandra. And because of it, she was able to play the game the way she wanted it to be played. And she wasn't held to a different standard by the jury. She was respected for the game that she played because it was true to herself. Whereas Lil's was always in question because was she actually a scout master playing this game or a scout leader playing this game? Or was she Lil trying to play this game and struggling because she was a scout leader? And so I really feel for Lil that was the situation she found herself in, but that was also the situation she put herself in.
Right.
Sandra walked into this game knowing how she wanted to play it. Anybody but me absolutely worked out for her. She became the queen in Pearl Islands, and we've seen her continue that all the way through. And so I have a lot of respect for someone like Sandra, knowing what her abilities were coming into this game, knowing what her strengths were going to be, and being able to hone those abilities all the way through. So kudos to Sandra for pulling out what nobody expected at the beginning of the season and really becoming an impressive person, not only this season, but throughout Survivor history.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In the beginning of the first episode, at the town where they bought supplies before heading to their camps, John said Sandra was so amazing because she spoke the language and worked out so many incredible deals. And watching that, or I should say rewatching that, made me realize it described a lot of her gameplay, too. She spoke the language of the people she worked with, whether it was putting fear of getting double crossed into someone's head or loyalty into another person's head. And she worked out deal after deal, always ensuring it was anybody but her getting the boot. Several times she made mistakes that might have ended her stay on the island. Instead, we might say that luck provided her with a way out, but some people can take advantage of luck while others can't. Sandra did. She played the game with a strategy that doesn't and can't work for everybody, but it worked for her. She was in a season filled with larger than life personalities and threats, and she was able to stay under the radar while making herself strategically useful at times, guiding the vote at other times, depending on the situation. She was known as a straight shooter, so people felt they could trust her when she said she would vote their way. Sometimes she did, sometimes she didn't. Sandra's strategy got her all the way to the end, but the final decision was still in Lil's hands. The thing is that once Lil got back into the game, her only real chance was against Burton. But had that happened, he would certainly point out that he played the game better than she had, and so she still would have most likely lost. Her game skills came to light much more in the second time around than the first, but everybody knew on that jury that she had a second chance that others didn't. So while we've discussed some of the things, you know, some of the other things previously, lying with the uniform on, being emotional, etc., all of those were almost certainly secondary in the minds of the jurors, even if we saw them discussed more in Final Tribal Council. Lil recognized that she would likely lose no matter what, so she brought along the person she viewed as being nicer to give her the win, Sandra. Even with her reputation of being, quote, lippy, she was still by far the preferred person. We know that Jeff Probst loves his big moves, but we've said time and time again, you can't win if you don't get to the end. Sandra made small move after small move, and it got her all the way to the end with someone she could easily beat, even if she didn't quite realize it. The final night of the game, Lil said to Sandra, "You and I have lasted the whole time." Well, no, that's not true. Sandra did, but Lil, you did not. And the jury was never going to forget that. Sandra didn't need to be a final tribal council superstar because the jury had already seen her in action and knew she was far preferable. And that is why Sandra won.
Excellent.
So, let me, before we tell you about what our next podcast is, so you'll have to stay and listen now. Let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available as a poster.
I always do it wrong. It's over
t-shirt.
Here.
Let's see here. What do we have here? Oh, yes. Another t-shirt.
So many t-shirts.
There it is.
So many options.
A mug. So you can go to, for the shirts and the mug, go to robhasawebsite.com or robhasapodcast.com. Click on the merch link, browse through designs. For the poster, go to tinyurl.com/DavidRulesPoster2. As we wrap up, and before still we get to the part where we'll talk about the future, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Rob has been talking about this a lot, but it bears repeating because RHAP is making changes to provide even more rewards to patrons. There will be special patron-only Survivor call-in shows similar to those for Big Brother. There will be some early podcast releases and more. Plus, once you join, you'll see that the program has so many different ways to have fun and interact. And Rob still has the monthly patron call-in shows, a weekly Q&A show with Nicole. And even when he's not talking directly to everyone, there are Facebook groups to keep you occupied with a great community of people, including both of us, where you can talk about Survivor, Big Brother, or life in general. It's the beginning of the month and the beginning of a new Survivor preseason, so it's the perfect time to sign up. Remember to go to robhasawebsite.com/patron, and once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
Yes, and you should also say hello to us on Twitter. I am at JessicaLewis89, and he is at David Bloomberg. You should follow us both because we obviously comment about everything happening Survivor, and there's a lot happening Survivor coming up, right? So there will be live tweeting during the season 41 episodes. In addition to everything else our lives exist of, we like to tweet about that too. So you should definitely follow us both at JessicaLewis89 and at David Bloomberg.
Yes, and I've been, I keep forgetting to mention this, I've been live tweeting almost every Big Brother episode.
Yep.
I provide thoughts on Australian Survivor, occasionally on South African Survivor. Although usually my South African Survivor is, okay, what are they eating there? What's that reward? What's that dessert? What, you know, because I just don't understand the terminology. But
right.
But yes. And when you're on Twitter, of course, the hashtag for this podcast is Why Sandra Won. And the hashtag for our podcast overall is Why X Lost. Make sure you're subscribed as we enter the Survivor 41 preseason to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts at robhasapodcast.com/survivor, or just go to your favorite podcatcher on your phone. We are also on the reality TV Rehap Ups feed, so you can get us there. Or you could just download every single Rob Has a Podcast podcast like I do. In all those places, there's a variety of great content. And we're counting down to the end of the the Survivor season rankings and getting ready for the new season.
All right. Am I allowed to say thank you? Or
sure.
You're
always allowed and encouraged to say
thank
you.
We're going to do thank yous first before we tell you what's coming up.
Yes.
So thank you to Scott St. Pierre, who does all of the editing for Why Blank Lost, both the video and audio version. So thank you so much, Scott, for all of the great work that you do. And thank you to Will from America for our incredible theme song that is super duper catchy. We appreciate it so much. So thank you, Will, for that.
Yes, and thank you,
David.
Oh, sorry.
I wasn't done. Thank
I'm sorry. You.
You
took a breath.
No, thank you so much for traveling back through time again. This was super duper fun. And I will say that this has been a lot of work rewatching all of these seasons, but it really has been an enjoyable experience. Like I've enjoyed it so much. It's reminded me why I love Survivor. So if you mm-hmm. haven't done rewatch, even if you're listening and you still haven't done it, I would highly suggest it because it is, if you enjoy the Survivor as much as we do, I think you would just enjoy the rewatches.
Yes, I agree. And thank you, Jessica, once again for joining me and doing all this work. Now, listeners may have caught that I specifically asked you, Jessica, for your final thoughts about Sandra in Pearl Islands a few mm-hmm. minutes ago.
Yeah.
And that's because we will be talking about her again in 2 weeks.
We will be.
I mentioned previously that we would be talking about the number 3 and number 1 season. And look, number 1 season is Sandra again.
Ta-da!
That's because we now know that is heroes versus villains. It would have been great, I think, to talk about Kagyan, which is the number two season. We simply, it was not possible for us to do three seasons plus prepare for the Survivor preseason. So
right.
We had to split them up.
And Heroes versus Villains is such a great season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the majority of people, it to be number one. So, yes, we will be back to talk about why Sandra won again.
Yay!
And then after the countdown, we will transition directly into a Survivor 41's preseason podcast, where you will hear about how we've already found out that at least one player is a fan of this very podcast.
I'm so excited about that. Yes. That is like, definitely awesome. So thank you.
And all I'll say to that is, David, you're right.
Perfect.
Everyone should watch for us in 2 weeks and then probably a week or maybe even only a few days after that. And then we'll be back here every week to talk about Survivor 41. We will see you then. Watch for us. Bye.
Bye.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.